This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin. We turn now to our series, Homefront, and the stories of the 182nd Infantry Regiment of the Army National Guard.
Staff Sergeant Jeff Barlow.
I'm Corporal Terry Narcisse.
Captain Michael Curry.
PFC McKittrick.
My name is Specialist Nestico.
My name is Staff Sergeant Jason Kopp from Southbridge, Massachusetts.
For the next year, we'll follow some of the members of the unit as they readjust to life after their year-long deployment to Afghanistan. Unlike the active duty, these soldiers will return to civilian life, managing other careers and family dynamics that may have changed in their absence. We introduced you to the 182nd last week after they arrived at Camp Atterbury, Indiana. It's a transition point where they went through a standard regimen of checkups and assessments, a process they had to go through before being allowed to actually fly home to Massachusetts and Rhode Island for most of them, and home to this. Their welcome home ceremony, marking the moment they returned to civilian life and the people they left behind. But before they get there, there is anxiety on both sides with soldiers and their families. And that's the story we bring you today.
I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to worry about.
This is Judy Nestico. We introduced you to her son, John Nestico, last week. He's the Army specialist who survived an IED attack in Afghanistan. The 57-year-old mother of three walks up the stairs of her family's rented duplex in Woburn, Massachusetts, up to the top floor.
I call it climbing the mountain. I don't do it very often.
She shows us the bedroom her 27-year-old son uses, the room he'll come back to when he's home from Afghanistan. It's a bit stuffy, so she opens a window. This was John Nestico's first deployment to a combat zone, and as you might expect, it's been a long year for Judy. She's been doing a lot of waiting. Her son was based in a remote province in western Afghanistan, so email was intermittent, and calls home didn't happen a lot, and when they did, the line was often quiet.
He didn't ask a lot of questions. There was a lot of dead air between us. We would just sit, not saying anything, like 30 seconds or 40 seconds, because I had given him all the news from back here. I'd ask questions, and then he'd usually change the subject.
Nestico didn't tell his mom that on his first mission in Afghanistan, his vehicle struck an IED. No one was hurt, but it haunted Specialist Nestico. Judy knew something had changed her son when he came home on leave late last year for a short visit, and she saw a tattoo on his back.
It's actually a date, the Grim Reaper, and an angel. Dragon or angel, something with wings, like taking something out of the clutch of the Grim Reaper. So I know something happened.
Other members of the Nestico family are concerned too.
He's one of the most important people to me. What he's done, I mean, I could never do it.
This is John's older brother, Frank.
When I think about it, that's what I'm most afraid of, is that somehow I'll say something or do something that will make whatever he's going through worse.
So the Nesticos will take things slowly when John comes home. Give him space. Let him share his experiences in his own time.
He doesn't seem like this open person, but he's got the biggest heart. And I know it sounds kind of cliche, but he really does. He just doesn't show it.
Trying to wear my heart on my shoulder a little bit more, you know, open with some of the things that have been going on in my life.
This is Army Specialist John Nestico. While his family is prepping his room and getting ready for him to come home, Nestico is at Camp Atterbury, Indiana, going through his demobilization process and doing his own fair share of worrying about what comes next. Nestico broke up with his girlfriend before he deployed, and he's still not quite over it. His mom lost her job a year ago and her unemployment benefits, so his family is strapped for cash. Nestico is also nervous about reconnecting with old friends when he gets home. And on top of all of that, he's still coming to grips with the IED attack.
A year of the stresses and the anxieties and trying to balance what's going on back home without the ability to be there, it takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on you mentally. It takes a toll on you physically.
Alcoholism runs in his family. So does depression. A mental health care provider at Camp Atterbury told him to seek regular treatment, so Nestico has made an appointment with a therapist back home.
And a lot of guys, they're going to go home and they're going to try to They're going to try and distress over a bottle. You know, there might be anxiety. People might get depressed. So I figured, why be one of those people? I can go in there and work things out. So when I go home, it's the best homecoming I can.
All soldiers transitioning from the war zone through Camp Atterbury go through a series of briefings, reminding them that while they've been gone, life has gone on without them.
I'm Captain Michael Curry. I was the garrison commander for Camp Alamo over in Kabul, Afghanistan.
Mike Curry has been in the National Guard for 22 years. When he was tapped to go to Afghanistan on his first combat deployment, he talked it over with his wife, Stacy.
She knew at some point I was going to need to deploy, and this was the right time.
A colonel at Camp Atterbury told a group of soldiers, including Curry, not to be surprised if their wives or girlfriends had engaged in some retail therapy over the past year.
You know, I wanted to stand up and, you know, in a joking manner say, she got a horse, she got a horse. That's what I got replaced with.
So this is my beauty that I bought. This is Asha.
This is Stacy Curry and her horse. The Currys live on a farm about a 90-minute drive outside Boston. There's a big yard and a swing set that occupies 2-year-old Isabella and 7-year-old Grayson. Stacy Curry is a stay-at-home mom, so she's used to spending lots of time alone, taking care of her girls.
Oh, Isabel, Dolly, come here.
But this was different.
I will say one thing that has definitely occurred from this deployment is I became a single parent.
That reality hit her just 3 weeks after Mike left. Their youngest, Isabel, got sick, and Stacy had to take her to the emergency room.
You know, we're sitting there, and she's getting an IV and the whole nine yards, and I was like, yep, I'm a single parent. We're doing this by ourselves, so.
Curry's coping strategy for the year was pretty simple. Stay busy.
Between the kids and the animals, it kept me almost at a dead run all year, and that worked for me.
Now, she's trying to slow down so her husband can catch up and fit back into the family dynamic. Back at Camp Atterbury, Michael Curry says the transition time here has been helpful, but the only way to really know how to readjust to home life is to just get there.
My wife has already planned out how everything is going to go when I get home. I don't know if 4 days here prepares you for the 40 days or the 400 days that come after that.
Just a couple days later, all the what-ifs about the future get pushed aside, and Curry and the rest of his unit fly back to Massachusetts. Wives and mothers, fathers, brothers, and kids line both sides of Main Street in Melrose, just outside Boston. 4 buses led by a police escort pull to a stop. The soldiers of the 182nd are home. The troops walk single file into Memorial Hall, each greeted by a staff sergeant. Most get a handshake, others a less formal greeting.
Give me a hug.
The Currys and the Nesticos are here in the crowd too, waiting, along with everyone else, to lay eyes on their soldiers. And then, the one word that officially turns these soldiers back into civilians. At that point, hundreds of families, locked arm in arm, flood toward the exits. It's been a long time coming. The journey is over. The speeches are done. It is now time to go home. To hear from other members of the 182nd and to see photos of the Currys and the Nesticos, go to our website, npr.org.